Blog Talk Radio.
Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it low, girl. Drop it, 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 drop it low, girl.
Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it, drop it low, girl. Drop it, drop it low, girl. Got Patron in my cup, and I don't give a fuck, the baddest bitch in the club right here.
Here I go, oh.
You wanna see me drive it, drive it, drive it. Wanna pop it, pop it, pop it. Sweep that ass on the floor. You wanna see me shake it, shake it, shake it. Yeah, you like it, like it, like it. When I drop it real low,
oh. Yeah, boy, you like that, oh.
Can you hear me, D? Hear me, D. People in the room, can you hear me? Well, while lovely T is getting her Cricket phone fixed, I want to say what's up to everybody in the chat room. And for some reason, we're having some April Fool carryover on the technical difficulties. No, we can't hear you, T. You have a mind foam. I don't know what's going on. You might need to call back in or something. I wonder how long she's been talking before she realized nobody heard her. Well, this is what happens when you have a cell phone with a hand crank on it. I want to say what's up to everybody in the chat room. Want to know how everybody was April Fool's and Easter weekend went, and feel free to call in today at the show at 713-955-0671. And today, interesting subject, we're going to talk about the beating across the world. Yes, this is on the track. Well,
you
welcome
guys back. Can't hear me?
Yeah.
Man, this is that Illuminati shit. Every time we talk about a deep topic, tell me my phone don't just go blank. Tell me Blog Talk Radio don't just hang up on me.
I told you about that New Jack City brick phone. You should be changing
your shit. And you know what? Again, the Samsung Galaxy. Thank you, guys. Because I was just running my mouth. I'm like, and then, and I was upset. And what do you think, Ronan? I'm like, okay, I'm not hearing nothing back. I'm just talking to myself. Lord have mercy. See, they stay hating on us. I don't got a crooked phone. I got a normal Galaxy. But yeah, I'm making really good points. I got to think about what I was saying.
Just start from the beginning. I'll owe you $20 for your phone.
Lord have mercy. When did y'all stop hearing me? Like, as soon as the music ended?
Yeah.
I was talking for like 10 straight minutes. Okay, anyway. Now I'm mad because I got to start all over. What's up to everybody coming to the chat room? I see everybody here. Thanks for joining us. We're going to start over. Y'all know Blog Talk Radio be hating on us whenever we get on to serious topics. But when we be talking about bullshit, don't nothing ever go wrong. We're going to be talking about some nonsense. Everything is smooth sailing. But we're talking about some serious stuff. Phones don't work. People get hung up on. Told you the Illuminati got this line tapped.
So
anyways, no, it's not April Fool's joke, VH1. I really thought I was talking to y'all. And I'm reading the comments, but nobody's replying back to what I'm saying. Okay, so anyway, so we're talking about the beating her around the internet. And so if you guys, I'm sure everybody has seen the video by now. Basically, there were two young girls. They were 14 and 15 years old. They had posted a booty twerking video of themselves on their Facebook page. And they had a bunch of comments. You know, a lot of people had things to say. And what ended up happening is that their father found out. And he ended up beating the shit out of them. like it was Django Remix. He beat them, like I said in the video, like their names were Broomhilda. He had that damn core like it was a slave whip, and he just went at them girls. And there has been so many mixed feelings. You know, just reading through the comment pages and seeing people arguing back and forth. A lot of people are saying he did the right thing. Other people are saying it's abuse. You know, and I felt some type of way because I went through a lot of, you know, what I would consider abuse, honestly, you know, growing up. A lot of physical and stuff like that. And I'm just the type of person, I feel like there's other ways to discipline your kids. There's nothing wrong with an ass whooping. That's not what I'm saying. I believe that you know, sometimes kids need that ass whooping. Sometimes talking may not be enough. Sometimes you do have to spank them. But in my opinion, you know, there's a fine line between abusing them and there's a fine line between humiliation. And so I just feel like, you know, I went through a lot as a kid. You know, I grew up in an African household where it was just normal. Whatever was in their sight, whatever they could pick up, got flung at you, got thrown at you. I've been beat with curling irons, hangers. I mean, everything. Like, I still have so many scars to this day. You know, like, sometimes my kids be like, why'd you get that scar? I'm like, grandma, grandpa. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's messed up. I still got scars from getting my butt whooped. But there's been a lot of mixed reactions. So what did you think, Ronnie, when you initially first saw the ass whooping her around the world?
I had to be very objective about it. On one half, it was an epic ass whooping. I've seen worse. But in this day and age, it was overdue. I understand in one way how the father was pissed off, how that looks. Now, some of these young girls or older ones twerking by the fish, they go out there and expose themselves and bring about a shame to themselves. So as a father who gives a damn, I see, like, growing up in them times, yeah, that's something that needs to be done. Because, again, talking rarely gets the right results in certain children at some time. Some just need that next step. The other half, I wouldn't videotape that.
Right.
I mean, it's like that in a sense, I don't know if it was intentional, but it seems like that brings a negative light because a lot of people want to blur the lines between discipline and child abuse. Child abuse would have been a whole thing about, you know, how Penny used to get abused, like get the iron to the back or to the skin or some extracurricular type punishment that didn't, yeah, what they call correction was or even worse. I grew up in the same time you did. I had paddles, shoes, Hot Wheel tracks, extension cords.
Hot Wheel tracks, hell no.
I stopped playing with Hot Wheels as soon as I got beat with that shit. Or you had the community type of discipline where if someone saw you down the street fucking up, that neighbor beat your ass, and then your grandparents, and then you had to wait till mom and dad got home. So again, they kind of checked you on things. But nowadays, it's just kids going wild. You got kids trying to wake their parents or their grandparents. There's no sense of discipline, no nothing. So personally, I'm kind of leaning towards the corrective measure because, again, there's a lack of it. There's like a parent lack of it. Nowadays, so-called parents are trying to be their kids' friends instead of their parents. So.
Right. But, I mean, do you think the extension cord was extreme? Because, like I said, it's one thing to spank them. Now, if he would have had a bell to use his hand, I could even see something like that. But to use that thick-ass extension cord and the way he just kept whipping it, like everybody was saying, you know, it looked like he was whipping them like they were blazed. You know, and that's why I felt like it crossed the line was the fact that it was the extension cord. It wasn't like they were standing so that cord could have hit anywhere. Their face, their neck, you know, just their eye. And that's what happens when people, you know, are just angry and they don't take a step back, you know. And like I said, I don't disagree with spanking kids, but I felt him using the extension cord was a bit extreme. And then to put it on the internet, I totally disagree with that. You know, there's people who are saying, well, he did it to embarrass him and show them a lesson. You don't ever put your shit out on the internet like that because that's humiliation, period, point blank.
Well, you know, in a way, I agree with you saying, like, put it on the internet, something like that, because, again, that does bring a flashback because, like, I thought back of the number. My ass-whooping resume is pretty thick. And, you know, as far as, like, extreme, I've been hit with switches and extension cords, but the thing is they catch it a certain area. They didn't go into the face or anything vital or anything that could have, like, caused severe bodily harm. The worst you could worry about was wealth, because I was, as a kid, I was a fuck-up. And not a bad one. I was just out there just doing shit that I wanted to do. And a lot of times that's the only way I learned. And it would have been worse. Extreme would have been had he made them take a shower and then beat them. That would have been too extreme. That's a little too much. But again, when they want to go out there and do what they do, there's other ways to do it, but at that time, it's choices and consequences. So in his way, in his behalf and a number of other parents, they felt they need to use a corrective measure versus outside forces using their corrective measures at their game. So.
Right, and a lot of people are saying a lot of good things in the chat room. A lot of people are saying they got whooped as well. VH1 Access is saying, I don't get why some parents want to expose themselves to the whole world. Sangity is saying that her grandmother or his grandmother did all the whooping. A lot of people agree with the guy. Thomas is saying that social services will probably be knocking on his door, and he thought that the court did hit the second child in the face. So a lot of people, like I said, it's a lot of mixed feelings. Roshani is saying that the whole thing, the whole recording it, was out of hand. And, you know, that's the part that kind of bothered me the most. If he would have just whooped them and none of us knew about it, then cool. Because so many times I always wonder, you know, when I see these little girls on the internet twerking and stuff like that, especially when they're really, really scantily clad. That's one thing they have on jeans and a shirt. But when you see them in just, you know, some boy shorts and then they have their shirts rolled up and they're showing their whole midsection, I always think, do the parents see these videos? And do they not know how to get them off the internet? And I understand once they go on the internet, they're posted. But I just wonder, like, what do the parents think? Are they okay with this? You know, do they not care? And then, again, you have some videos where you have the chicken head mama in the scene with the daughter, and they're both twerking. You know, so you have some parents who condone it. And I understand, you know, parents not being their kids' friends. You need to be a parent first. So let me ask y'all this. Let me ask everybody this in the chat room. Because a lot of people are saying that, you know, beating your kids shows them discipline and, you know, I turned out all right. And I think I turned out okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect. I've made my mistakes as everybody else has. But I think, you know, I ain't killed nobody. You know, I've never done anything bad. I've never been in jail. I have good credit. I take care of my kids. I do what I have to do. I work. So, but I can't say that that came from me getting my ass whooped. You know, I can't necessarily say that. I'm not saying that the ass whoopings didn't help, but I think it instilled more fear than anything. And for me personally, I don't think, like, you should fear your parents because it just causes it where you don't have that strong relationship. Because I look at some of my friends who have really good relationship with their parents, and, you know, they might have been spanked, but it wasn't like, you know, like an abusive situation. And then you have other people who were so scared of their parents that they never built that close bond. So do you think sometimes when parents go overboard, that they instill that fear in their children without really knowing it, and that causes trouble down the line, especially with between that mother, you know, father, child relationship?
In some cases, yeah. I mean, there are some parents who are jealous of the children, so they'll find any excuse to take out their rage on the kids. That's abuse. Or they'll figure, there's all different kinds of abuse. It doesn't even have... Some of the worst ones are verbal or psychological.
Right.
You know, or
right.
They'll sit there and, like, do things like make their kids jump in scalding hot water or some kind of weird-ass, you know, SEAL team-type interrogation-type shit for no reason. Now, when it came to my parents, I talked about, you know, getting hit with all those kind of things. They explained to me as to why I'm being corrected. Now, I hated that ass-whooping sermon with a passion. But for some reason, it's like they told me during each squat or whatever, they like, you know, you're embarrassed, you know, don't you dare embarrass me or something like that. Because they gave a damn what I was doing. I wasn't paying attention, you know, in school. I was always distracted or doing something stupid. And, like, they told me during and after, usually when the crying was stopping, as to why they did what they did. The abuse part is when you have people have more damage, insult to injury, to where they sit there and beat you and they say other things to, like, really destroy your self-esteem and everything, so you start feeling worthless or anything like that. They don't explain as to why they do it, or they do, but it's in a negative way. So that's like, when you look at that picture I put in the chat room where you have this chick spread eagle with no drawers on and her kid is in there. I mean, like, when you're a parent, that's not what you've seen at that time. You'd be damned if you did something embarrassing like that. So nowadays, in the absence of discipline, there's no level of shame. There's no level of self-respect or anything like that. So now you got people doing everything embarrassing, I mean, at the lowest common denominator, and they're trying to top that. So when you think back then, okay, you said, like, things were rough, but things, there was a balance there. I said, look, don't embarrass me nor yourself. They told you to, like, hold yourself accountable to certain things. You know, I didn't raise you to do these things, but nowadays you got so-called parents pretty much, they want the title, but they're not playing the roles required in that title. So...
Right, and a lot of people in the chat room are saying, you know, are saying that in the chat room that a lot of times verbal abuse is worse than the physical, and I definitely agree with that. Thomas was saying in the chat room, he said, I always thought verbal abuse was worse than physical. To hear your parents cuss you out and tell you that you're nothing, your own parents, that fucks you up big time. And I agree with that, you know, and
yeah.
I went through a lot of verbal abuse, as many people did. XL ATL is saying that her mom never hit her unless she was bad, broke a window or something like that. Goal is saying, does anyone remember when that kid got beat by his uncle on YouTube of World Star Hip Hop? Yes, and that kid is now dead. And see, that's what also bothered me about him putting it on the internet, because I do, you know, I do videos on certain topics. So I remember when a lot of these things play out, people tend to forget. But, you know, I gave that uncle props for spanking that boy. That was a big-ass 16-year-old. But he spanked him, you know, in the button back area with the belt. To me, that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it was a man hitting another man. And like I said, the 16-year-old was bigger than the uncle. So the belt didn't really faze him. It was the fact that he was trying to teach him, you know, that you're not going to be claiming no gang. But where he messed up was putting on the internet. Because what happened is, and they even said it later on, that was the cause of the boy's death, is that now your uncle done found you on the internet. You're all over World Star Hip Hop. T and everybody and their mom was doing a video about you. Everybody got something to say. But now you have to go back to your same neighborhood, your same school, and face these same kids. Because now they're trying to test you. Because now they think you're a punk because your uncle punked you out on World Star Hip Hop and made you out to be a joke. So people kept testing him. People kept coming at him. And, you know, being, you know, a human, you're naturally going to react after a while. And when he reacted, they said something about he got into a fight, the person lost the fight, something. But anyways, they ended up coming back and killing this young man. And that uncle felt so much guilt. Like when he talked to the news people, he was crying and everything, he felt so much guilt. He said he doesn't regret disciplining his nephew, but maybe he would have took it a different route. And that's my thing, you know what I'm saying? When you put something on the internet, you never know how these girls will react. You never know how people react to them in the real world. Because on the internet, we can all sit behind a screen and talk shit, you know, behind a username. But at the end of the day, they still have to go to school and face that. You know, they're going to be the laughing stock. That's why I say, to me, there's a fine line between humiliation and abuse. And I don't agree with him posting on the internet at all. I don't think that was cool. And then you have to realize, too, he also put himself in a bad place. Because now when he goes to work in the morning, how are his coworkers going to look at him? Because if that was a coworker that sat next to me, I would be looking at him kind of side-eyed. Like, you beat your daughter that bad on the internet for the world to see, but what do you do to your kids when the computer is not there? What do you do when the computer is off? You know, because when you show a 30-second clip, it really makes your mind wander.
Well, I was saying, it's just like anything else. In a 30-second clip, you only get a portion of the story most of the time. And, you know, again, it's like I wouldn't necessarily fault the father for disciplining their child because, again, like, you know, growing up in that time, the parents give a damn. It's like, rather I would correct you than rather have the system correct you. And, again, like, it'll be a lot worse when they do it. But, again, there's another part of mentoring is when they talking to your children and, like, knowing what bullies are going to do because kids are cruel motherfuckers. Let's just be honest with that shit. They'll go sit there and find something to pick at you about, and they'll harp on you. And that's where the parents come in and mentors come in as far as, like, conflict resolution. So, and nowadays, like, most kids don't know how to fight and protect themselves. So the first thing they'll do is, like, go get a weapon or do what they see on television. I think that's cool. They don't, you know how to handle themselves any other way. So... it's not necessarily, like, really the father, but, again, it's like, have there been opportunities to, like, show him how to deal with the situation at hand, but that led to that, that may have, you know, kept him around, you know, even today.
Right, but I think, you know, like you said, when you got whooped with Hot Wheel cars and got Jiffy peanut butter thrown at you.
What?
That was me one day. Somebody threw a damn jar of Jiffy peanut butter at me. You know what I'm saying? They hit me in the damn leg. Like, just, I'm telling you, whatever they would find, they would just toss it at you. It's like, you better be quick and duck. But
I think
when parents sit down and explain to their kids why they're in trouble, I think that definitely helps resolve the situation. Because there's nothing worse than getting an ass whooping, and you don't even know why you're getting your ass whooped. Like, literally, like, they're just mad, or they had a bad day at work, and they take it out on you. I think that in itself is abuse. You know what I'm saying? When you're just mad and you're mad at the world and you take it out on the kids, you take it out on somebody who can't fight you back. You know, and you have some parents who do that. And I think that's a lot worse. But like you said, your parents would explain to you after you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's what a lot of parents forget to do. They're so quick to pick up a belt and spank their child, but they're not telling that child why they're spanking them, what they did wrong, and how to prevent from getting spanked again.
It wasn't always, you know, whoopings all the time or something like that. A lot of times it was psychological, but it wasn't in the degree that most people experience in the bad way. They're like, they would ground you. They would, like, leave you in your room, take away all your games and all that shit. So you're listening to your friends. That's the worst thing you could do, is sit in the house while your friends are playing outside.
Right.
Or they would sit there and, like, no, you're going to study your homework, whatever. You got detention, you're going to go there. If you don't raise your grades up, you can forget about this trip or all this different stuff that you were looking to get. Cancel that. So they taught you lessons like, look, you need to stay focused. Like, this one time I stole a Sega Master System. I don't know how I managed to do it, got out of the store without it, but I managed to keep it hidden for about 2 weeks. Then my mom found it.
You stole a whole Sega? You talking about the Sega Genesis?
No, the Sega Master System. I stole the old.
What was that? That's old school. I remember Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that was before Genesis. Like, and when they found out, that's when I said they kicked my ass. They tag teamed on me, like, they were both disappointed. And, like, plus the fact that they didn't know, they're pissed off that they didn't know about it. They should have known. But every time they came by, I managed to hide it, put it away, but then it ended up coming to light. And they told me, you know, why they did it. And it's like, where did you learn this BS from? It's like, they continue to monitor me, like, find me in other programs, like the YMCA to go do some things to get out my little creative energy and stuff like that. They were paying attention to what I was doing. But still, you know, when you're beating your kids with chicken wire and all kind of weird-ass shit, you know, that is unnecessary, like some third-world beating stuff, that's where the whole abuse line is crossed. You know, like, just, or being the oldest, I would catch trouble because I wasn't accountable for my brothers. I felt, you know, they were in my way, they were annoying or something like that, but they taught me, like, look, you're supposed to take care of family. Because some other so-called friends, you know, some will love you better than a brother or sister. There's some people who don't mean you no good. So,
right. And a lot of people are making a lot of good points in the chat room. Salacy is saying that her dad was real evil with the whoopings. He was brought up with a lot of serious issues from Jamaica, from the countryside. And it wasn't fun because he would beat her with anything that he could get his hands on. And it seems like a lot of us have this same dysfunctional experience. When we talk about whoopings in the African-American community or black community or, you know, in the Caribbean, African community, a lot of us have the same stories. You know, parents just picking up whatever they see and just throwing it at us. Or, you know, beating you with a high heel shoe, with a lamp, curling iron, you know, extension cords, hangers. And it's crazy because everybody in the chat room has basically been beat with similar objects. You know, and when I talked to my white friends about beating, they didn't get beat. They were in timeout. They may have been grounded. They got things taken away. So it's kind of crazy how a lot of us, yes, curling irons. I was beat with a curling iron until the curling iron broke. It wasn't hot, but it did negate the fact that it hurt. And, you know, it's like a lot of us can see that dysfunction. Like, we all went through it. So now let me ask y'all this. Because a lot of us say that, okay, we got beat, but it made us be better people and, you know, we turned out okay. But did we really turn out okay? Like, maybe there's a few of us that turned out okay. There's a few of us who ended up being productive citizens. But when you look at us overall, especially as, like, you know, as a people, as black folks, I think a lot of us are screwed up in the head.
Yeah.
And we end up perpetuating it. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of parents would rather beat than sit and explain to their kids what they're doing wrong. And you have a lot of parents in return doing that to their children. You know, and I think, you know, even with all the beatings, think about all the beatings that we got beat with. Look at the prison population. That's what Bonafide is saying. Look at the teen mothers. Look how many young parents. Look, people still got pregnant. Even though you got your ass whipped, people still ended up pregnant. People still ended up being young parents. So how come being beat with all this stuff, how come we're not in a better position now? When you think about it, all us 80s babies who got our asses whooped, how come so many of us are locked up? How come so many of us are not in college? How come so many of us are not doing the right thing? How come so many of us end up on World Star Hip Hop if these beatings help?
When it comes to, like, discipline, we know there's some kids who, no matter how much corrective measures you use, they are going to fuck up. They're just going to aspire to do what they want to do and go the route they go. In out of jail, even the sons you spoil or don't even discipline, some of them end up being worse. I mean, like, raising kids, you know, that's like a crapshoot sometimes. You have the best intentions of the parent or aunt, uncle, whatever, mentor, and a lot of times they make their own decisions and feel they have to learn the hard way, or they just feel justified and do what they want to do. So I wouldn't put that entirely on, you know, the level of discipline or lack of it. It is some other elements that we are not even discussing play another vital factor, too. So, I mean, some turned out well. Others, again, like, you know, we have some other issues, like dealing with, I mean, like, again, like, you could be the best parent and discipline your children. But what if you had something like pedophilia or some kind of violation out there that screwed everything up?
Right, but it still doesn't excuse the fact, though, that a lot of people brag about it, and that's what they're saying in the chat room. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, Salacy is saying that she hated her dad for a long time, and it took her a long time to, you know, to even be close with him, and I definitely understand that, because that physical abuse does affect you. Roshani is saying that the physical abuse and the discipline did not help her. VH1 acts the same, that most white parents do time out, but some do beat their kids too. Jay is saying the main difference through this amount of love is, in comparison to the amount of beating, is the amount of educating the child, what they did wrong, instead of the you embarrass me factor. And Excel ATL saying, honestly, I don't think it helped my sister. She used to get it worse than me. And she still, you know, was out here doing whatever. So it looks like, you know, a lot of people are saying the same thing, that a lot of folks, you know, are saying that they were disciplined. Like, I mean, that's the comment that I'm reading on my videos. Oh, well, I got beat and I turned out okay. Well, you're one person, but where are all these people? Because we all got beat. That's one thing that we can all regale. We can all regale tales of being beat to death damn near. You know what I'm saying? But where are all these outstanding people from these beatings? Why isn't our community in a better shape? I mean, that's something we have to ask ourselves. If we're so pro, you know, beating our kids with every damn thing under the sun, why are our kids still showing out? Why are our kids not, you know, why are we not where we need to be as a people? You know, because I think sometimes when you constantly perpetuate violence on somebody, that's when you have somebody in return do that. You know, when all you're teaching them is violence and all you're teaching them is that, you know, is to beat them and to abuse them, then they turn around and they do that same violence onto somebody else. They're quick to pull out a gun. They're quick to kill somebody else because they have no self-esteem, no self-worth, because it wasn't instilled in them from the parents. So, I mean, to me, I don't feel like, you know, the overt discipline necessarily helps anybody. But, again, every child is different. Some kids can get beat. They learn their lesson and it's a wrap. They never mess up again, or they stay on the straight and narrow. Other kids can get beat, and they grow resentment towards that parent, and they end up mad at the world. But I'm just saying, from, you know, as much as we brag in the black community about getting beat and how we need to beat our kids, then there should be way more shining examples.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, because our prisons are populated. Our prisons are full of black people, men and women. And I'm sure if you ask them, a lot of them were beat.
Well, you know, again, with the prison populations and other unsettly statistics, that's one of many avenues that led to those situations like the overpopulation. A lot of things are made by design, even by the best, kids who were raised in the most favorable conditions. There's just certain elements that are funded and maintained, I guess, for indentured servitude, especially like prisons. It's like it goes back to the whole moral code, and not just their interpretation of it, but just like the love language, they're different ones. Same thing with discipline. As you said, like some children, you could just tell them something is wrong, and they'll take that and run with it and won't do it again. Other ones, you had to do something. You try every measure possible. Sometimes you like get to figure, what am I going to do? Matter of fact, it got to the point where, you know, when my dad passed and everything, my mom didn't know because she raised three boys. And it's kind of hard to raise boys because boys get into shit most times. So I ended up going to my uncle's in Dallas for about, you know, the whole summer or whatever, and learn from him. So it's not just the parents, the primary parents themselves. Sometimes it's those other adjacent family members, uncles, aunts. They get a very, diverse understanding of the world as it is, because your parents are going to teach you one way. Your aunt and uncles and everyone else, they can teach you different perspectives of, you know, life, so you get a broader sense of it. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of children are not privy to that. So, you know, again, it's a whole lot of factors in that. But, yeah, discipline, it depends on that. Some disciplines actually are conditioning, and it can lead to negative effects. So, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, it's true, you know, and it's a lot of people that, you know, think that a lot of that stuff was normal, but some of that stuff was borderline abuse. I don't care what anybody says. You know, when you're getting beat with, you know, metal spoons and pots and frying pans and, you know, stuff like that, some of that stuff was definitely borderline abuse. So I just feel like, you know, like I said, these kids nowadays are off the chain. You know, parents need to be on top of their kids more. But beating them with extension cords and posting on the internet, I don't think that that's the right way to go, you know. And then other people are saying, like, wow, there's a white blogger. She runs like a mommy blog. And it was interesting to see how the white folks were reacting to this. Oh, they were upset. They already called Chopper 10, like, yeah, I can't believe he did that. Somebody called CBS. He should be arrested. I mean, they were upset. I would never. All she's doing is dancing. Why are they acting so crazy? She's not snorting cocaine. She's not, you know, having sex on camera. It's just a dance. But see, they're looking at it like it's just a dance because Miley Cyrus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They knew nothing
right.
about twerking until Miley Cyrus did it. So now they're thinking it's just a dance, and they don't understand the big deal. But they're not understanding this twerking been around for a while now. But, you know, with that being said, you know, yes, they were dancing. You know, they could have been out here doing worse. And people ask me, well, if you had a daughter, you know, what would you do if you had a daughter? I would be upset. I wouldn't want my daughter recording herself in that fashion and posting on the internet. But I think for me, I would be talking to my daughter before it got to that point. You know what I'm saying? If I live in this day and age, I see how it is with technology. I have boys, but I still talk to them. Like I tell my son, even, you know, when he had his phone, you are not to take certain pictures. You're not to post pictures on Facebook. I don't want to see you on Facebook shirtless. I don't want to see you taking any type of pictures. There's certain, you know, I go through his phone. There's certain things that you're not going to send out because certain things can come back to haunt you. We're not playing the sexting game. We're not doing none of that. So those are things that you have to start talking to your kids early about. Had somebody been talking to them before the situation, she may not even thought it was okay to post that video. You know, so I think a lot of parents do need to get up to speed and realize what these kids are out here posting on the internet and things like that. But again, a lot of these kids are off the chain. But like Bonafide Loving is saying, you can't start installing values in your children at 16.
It's too late.
And that's the truth. You have to start young. You can't start at 13, 14. By then, they've already built their personality. You have to start young. And when you see them acting up, you got to nip that shit in the bud. And I will tell you, for me personally, I can only speak for myself. I had some stupid chick come on my video and say some slick shit. How I choose to discipline my kids is how I choose to discipline them. I've whooped them. You know, I've done things like that. I've never taken it, you know, to the extreme like my parents did me. But they've gotten spankings, you know what I'm saying? But it's to the point now where my child is as big as me. You know what I'm saying? We're damn near the same height and size. I'm not going to keep chasing a 12-year-old up and down the steps with a belt. I don't have the energy for that. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm going to do is sit down and talk to you and break it down to you. And then after I talk to you, your grandma's going to talk to you, your father's going to talk to you, your uncle. Oh, you're going to hear from all of us. We're all going to sit down and break it down to you as to what you're doing wrong. And then on top of that, I'm taking everything from you. I don't see my son of everything when he's acted up. And you know what? He calmed the hell down and turned it around. And sometimes to me, I think that makes more of a difference than just beating your kid, punching him in the face. You know, people out there, just punch him in the face. I'm not about to just punch my child in the face. He's not a stranger on the street. He's not a grown man. That's my child. I was punched in the face, but I would never do that to my child. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I just think that kids learn more when you take shit from them, like real talk. I used to think it was nonsense. I think, oh, that's white people stuff, putting them in the corner and did it. I'm telling you, take everything from them kids. They will go stir crazy. When my son didn't have none of his stuff, he stayed in my face. Mama, what you doing? Excuse me, editing, what you doing? Oh, you bored now. Now you want to sit in my bed and talk and chop it up, you know? And it even brought us closer because we were just able to just talk about other stuff because he wasn't preoccupied with other stuff. I'm telling y'all, first thing I would have done, I would have took everything from them little girls. Their room would have been stripped, point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? Their room would have been stripped, their laptop, computer, everything would have been taken from them. You know, that would have been my first step. You know what I'm saying? And if I needed to spank them, if this was a situation where, you know, let's say this was their first time, I think that would have been my first step. I took everything from them, broke it down to them. If they felt the second time around that they were going to go make some more twerk videos, then I would have spanked them. Because now, obviously, when I try to be nice and break it down to you as to why you don't need to be doing this, you didn't respect that, then I would spank them. But I wouldn't need to pull out no cord, and it damn sure wouldn't be on the Internet. You know, I just think we have to find other ways to punish these kids, because like we always talk about on our show, Ronan, these kids are spoiled. These kids are so used to having the latest this, this, and that. These kids live in a microwave society. You have kids, like we were talking about the first show, who don't even know how to use a damn ice tray. They don't know what an ice tray is. They're used to going to the refrigerator and, boop, hitting that button, and ice magically comes out from, you know, the ice man in the refrigerator. So they're used to their gadgets. They're used to all types of stuff. Take they shit away. I'm telling y'all, it makes a big difference. I'm not trying to come on here and act like, the goody-goody, you know, I'm going off of white parenting. I'm not saying that. Sometimes your kids do need to be popped, but once they get a certain age, if you haven't instilled certain things in them, it's a wrap. You can't be trying to preach to your child at 16 when he's 6'2", you know what I'm saying, bigger than you. This is some stuff you got to get nipped now. And like you said, too many parents want to be out here trying to be cool with their friends. Sometimes you have to suffer, you know, when you take stuff from your kids. Sometimes you have to suffer, but it is what it is. If you have to disconnect the Internet, well, then you just don't have Internet. Yeah. But see, a lot of parents aren't willing to sacrifice.
Well, and you think about it, like, I can tell you what my dad told me, like, many years ago. And I think it was a thing where they had that, they just started a whole, if you feel like you're going through abuse or something, you call this hotline, whatever. And one time I think I got in trouble, and I told my dad, you know, I'm going to call this hotline, whatever. And he closed the door, and like, son, I love you. But you know what? If you call that hotline, by the time police get here, that's about a good 30, 45 minutes, allow me enough time to fuck you up, and I'm going to go to jail. And then while I'm in jail, I'm going to think of more ways to fuck you up when I get out. So, son, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make an honest decision. Do you really want this on your ass? That was the last time we had that conversation. So, I mean, it's like when you're a kid, when you start getting certain things presented to you, I mean, sometimes whoopings didn't need to take place. You're like, you know what? I'm going to be mad. And while I'm in there, I love my kid, but it's like, before I let the system have you, I'm going to kill you. And I mean this as a father. That gives a damn. Because if you're messing up in school, I have the teach. I'm have the teachers tell me, and then when they tell me, I'm on your ass. If you out there changing grades, which I try to do unsuccessfully, I'm gonna kick your ass.
I remember them days.
Or were you out there starting fights? And look, if you do something and you're getting picked on, right, look, you need to defend yourself. If you out there being a bully, I'm gonna be a bully on your ass. So it wasn't always the whole beat your kids, all that stuff. It was always some mentor stuff. Sit down, teach you things. Go out and learn things about the world. Learn to read. Do something. Like, it was more than that. But just, I mean, like, when they took everything away, first I got my ass beat. Then they took all
right.
my shit away. They stripped all that bare.
But what hurt more? But what hurt more? The ass whooping or you not having none of your shit?
Both. It was embarrassing.
But what lasted more, though? Because the ass whooping is temporarily.
Well,
after a while, you can sit back down.
after you didn't need the assistance of a pillow, you had to sit there and think about, okay, you hearing your friends out there playing. Well, the fucked up part is when they come knock on the door and you hear them, like, look, no, he done fucked up. He ain't coming outside today. And you're like, damn. So now you got to sit here in your prison where you could hear everybody having a good old time. And that was the worst part because back then they promoted kids going out there having fun. That's when we had, instead of Facebook and all this social internet stuff, that was our version of it. We got to go outside and play and learn how to communicate with each other. Now you got more obese kids and everything like that. You can't tell them nothing. But you don't think it's funny how times have changed. But as usual, the spankings and all that, that was last resort. You know, you always got a warning shot, like, look, okay, let me get a phone call from the school. I'm coming to your school. And every time, you remember being in school where, you saw someone you didn't know walk by the door, you act like you was doing homework. You remember that shit. So where do you see that now? You got some chicks come out there or some dudes, come out more embarrassing than anything. Or the kids don't even, the teachers don't even give a shit now. So it just shows you how times have changed when discipline and a level of moral standing has been evaporated or taken out.
Right. Everybody's making such good points in the chat room. I mean, lots of good dialogue in the chat room. People are saying to disconnect the contacts, the phone bill, Excel HTL said take away their weeds. Dwayne said no lease fronts. And I agree. Let them go to school bald-headed. This damn weave costs $50 a pack. I'm not getting your hair done. You're not getting your nails done. I'm telling you, you take certain stuff from kids, they'll act up. They'll act right. For real.
They'll beg for a beating. They'll beg, look, please whoop my ass.
Right.
Do not do this shit.
I remember my son, I had to spend some money to get him some new Jordans for basketball. And it's like they was just thrown around the house like they wasn't nothing. I done had to work overtime and bust my butt so you can have some new tennis shoes. And then you want to just toss them and them Jordans stayed in my closet for 2 weeks. You wear your old stuff. He was salty. But mom, it was not me. You were the same size. And I was wearing his Jordans. Sure was. Rock. Can
that's
I get my shoes now until you can learn to put, sure, we were the same damn size. I was rocking them 5'6"s. You're going to appreciate what I do for you because I bust my ass too hard. You know what I'm saying? I don't play that. I do not play that with them. My kids be like, this girl get on my damn nerves. But, and people ask me all the time, do your kids watch your videos? My kids don't want to watch me on YouTube. They got to hear my mouth and out. They're not trying to sit and watch me sit there raving rant. I be raving and ranting around my house. I'm not raising no bummer dudes. I'm not raising no, worthless boys. I'm not raising no dudes who feel like they have to live with a female and they have to, depend on the female for everything. I'm not doing that. You're going to be independent. You're going to be a man. So you're going to learn how to do the dishes. You're going to take out the trash. And if I have to ask you again if the dishes aren't done because those are your chores, you would do them first in the morning when you get up. You got to stay on top of your kids.
Well,
just like my little one, he tried to play crazy. I can't sweep. You're going to learn today. I've been sleeping since I was 5. You're going to learn how to sweep and mop. That's his new chore. You're 7 years old. He sweeps the kitchen and he mops. Give these kids chores. Give them stuff to do. That's the problem. These kids ain't got shit to do. They got too much freedom. Ain't nothing wrong with kicking. You're not spending time with them. I take them out and stuff like that. But you still got to have things in place for kids. You still have to have chores. You still have to have them on a certain path. It's not always about beating them. You have to put them on a certain path. You got to instill certain things in them. And a family support, especially if you're a single mother, you definitely have to have that family support and get them around positive, strong male and female role models. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just have to do that.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Oh, they laughing in the chat room. I sure did. I wore the hell out of Man Jordan. They're my sons. He's grounded right now, so I'm wearing them. But guess what? Now when you see his shoes, they're lined up neatly. Downstairs on the first floor. Y'all not selling stuff I'm buying. I work too hard for my money. That money I spent on you, I could have paid a bill with it.
I'm going to go on record and say you were a fucking asshole for doing that shit. You were right.
Oh, yeah, I wore them Dan Jordan. You were salty. Is I see going to wear my Jordans to work? Yes, it's casual day. And I'm wearing black and gold. These Jordans go perfect.
Well, if I was your son, I would have threw a bar of soap at your ass. That was good.
Oh, yeah, he was hot. I don't give a damn. I pay for him. He don't pay no bills and he don't work no job. So when I buy you something and they brand new, you're going to respect them. Because I didn't get Jordans when I was a kid. I got hand-me-downs. So I appreciate everything I have. So it's like you're not about to be walking around here thinking you sport. I work too hard. Hell no. And we were the same size. I know he had a pair. He had grown out of his, he had some size 5 Jordans or whatever he had grown out from last summer that his dad got him. And and they're black. You know, all they needed to do was be clean. He's like, well, these don't fit. You know what I'm saying? What should I do with them? You better clean them off and put them in my closet. I can fit them. We're not throwing away no shoes. We recycling in this house. Sure did. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd be like, my mama crazy. Oh, well. But I think, you know, I think it will just teach them in the future, you know, just like I said, I'm not perfect. My kids ain't perfect. They make mistakes. You know, I'm still learning, you know, but it's just like we have to take a step back and just, you know, look at a lot of things. And when I see people who are bragging about, you know, everything they went through and, you know, the beatings and stuff like that, and I understand, you know, the psychological effect that it took on everybody. You know, like people are not cool with their parents. A lot of people are angry. You know, we gotta really learn how to treat this next generation of kids because there's so many things out there. There's so many temptations and there's so many things out here to run your kids astray. And I know it got to be even harder with girls. Like I definitely feel for anybody who is raising girls. It's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? Because they have so many on top of all the messages that they're getting, and then they have all the stuff to deal with their bodies and being told they're not pretty and the whole skin tone debate and the hair debate. I don't have to go through all that with the boys, but, you know, you definitely have to be on top of your daughters, and you have to start young. You can't start, you know, when they're 14.
Well, you know, while we're talking about psychological, I hope my mom or somebody, it was either my mom or dad that told me a long time ago when we had the talk about the birds and the bees, which I didn't believe that bullshit when they told me. But I remember there was a statement when I was watching the movie Aliens. It said, like, this is what happens when you get a girl pregnant. It had one of them chest busters pop out. So for years, I didn't fuck around with any girl. Like, that left a scar on my head for some reason until about late teens when I actually learned and studied what really happened. But y'all got to be careful what y'all say to kids because that shit kind of fucked me up for me. I didn't talk about it a whole lot, but, like, really, I wouldn't talk to my mom about that. Like, really, that's why I didn't have any kids when I was young because I kept thinking they were going to pop out of her chest. Sounds crazy, but I actually believe that shit.
Mm-mm-mm. But it slowed you down.
Hell yeah. No.
It'll slow you down. It's gonna be, you know, what's gonna be crazy though. You know, everybody's saying that he beat them girls to prevent them from having sex and to, you know, prevent them from getting pregnant and being fast. What's gonna happen when they do? You know, if they do end up doing something.
Some do. Some end up right. Like when you think you're doing right, like I better not catch you with no boys in the house. Okay, they only tell them, okay, I'm not gonna get caught in the house. I'm gonna go to the school, down the street, or, you know, in a car where they can't see me. And then consequences come from that. So, I mean, like, you may have the best intentions, but sometimes you may get them to alter their decision-making in the wrong ways.
Right. And shout out to G Stewart. He just popped in the chat room. He's on Color People's Time. What's up, G? I didn't know the show was tonight.
boy.
You know, we ain't seen Danica in a while. I know she said her internet was having issues and they were having a lot of things going on in Brooklyn with the little with the young man that got killed. They were rioting by her house. She had sent me an email.
Hey, what's up, G?
But yeah, it's crazy. So now we have about 34 minutes left. This has been a really good show, lots of really good dialogue in the chat room. You know, a lot of people just stating really good points. And I think for the most part, everybody in the chat room, you know, didn't really agree with the method. Like, nobody is against whooping, but they didn't agree with him putting on the internet. And a lot of people were talking about they're just damn abusive childhoods. People in my chat room went through hell and back, for real. You know, and it's like, sometimes you get upset when you think about certain things, but then sometimes, you know, you think about, you know, maybe it was love and maybe, you know, your parents meant well. And at the end of the day, you know, I went through a lot of mess with my parents, verbal abuse, you know, physical abuse, you know, just being told all types of crazy stuff. And to come from that and to still do what I do and work hard and take care of my kids and not make any excuses, and I'm doing better than a lot of people in my family who are twice my age, you know, and I'm proud of myself. You know, sometimes we don't look back. Sometimes we don't look at everything we came from and look at where we're at and just say, you know what, I'm proud of myself. I could be in jail. I could be out here with six kids by six different people. I could be a crackhead, you know, but God willing, my path was something different. So maybe those butt whoopings kind of helped, or maybe it was just something within me. But I try not to judge anybody who does end up in that situation where they're in prison or, you know, they made a few bad choices, because sometimes it's just choices. Sometimes it's just being at the wrong time at the wrong place. But I think, you know, you can instill certain things in your kids, but at the end of the day, they may just, you know, turn out a different way. They may go down a different path. You know, my whole goal in life is to just raise some healthy boys. Like I tell my boys, I don't expect y'all to be doctors and lawyers. If y'all are, that's great. But I expect y'all to be good, decent human beings, point blank. I think that's more important than anything, to be a decent human being and to treat people with a level of respect. You know, and that's what's missing out here, is that you have the parents who don't respect their children. You have children who don't respect their parents. So when you don't respect, you know, your parents, you don't respect your household, how are you going to go out into the world and respect anybody in the world?
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of parents out here with low self-esteem, low self-worth, and then in return, you know, they take it out on their kids and then return those same kids because they're not being raised with any type of self-esteem, self-worth. They put, you know, they perpetuate that onto other children, hence they're the bully.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of bullies are kids who are hurt. A lot of bullies are kids who are abused. You know, who are picked on at home, and being that they can't fight and beat up their parents or whoever it is that's abusing them, they take it out on other kids at school who are smaller than them.
Yeah.
You know, we need to realize that, too. People want to always cry about, well, I don't know where all these bullies are coming from. Damn it, they're coming from guys beating their kids with extension cords and posting on World Star Hip Hop.
Well, again, it's like there's a lot of it, like you said, the psychological, because there's, when it comes to children, they're so self-expressive, like they're free how they express themselves. Like when I was little, I drew. Like I did a complete rendition of the Super Mario Brothers, I guess, poster, but a little better at that age. And when you're a parent, when you see your child that is gifted in a certain area, you cultivate that. That will take a whole lot of that. When you think about it, when kids get in trouble, a lot of that's for attention. A lot of times they're doing something, even if it's negative attention, they're doing that or to get something out. Or when I found out that me and my brothers were athletic, put us into sports, you know, burned off that creative energy and kept us focused on other things. So other part of it is like when you get bullies, they get taught to like keep from expressing themselves. You know, like just, hey, mom, you know, I got this A, and they're like, shut up, leave me alone, I had a rough day. So they start learning how to harbor resentment and different things like that because of their parents' example. And they only have to lay a hand on them. You know, they just turn, all it takes is like shutting that child out, teaching them that their valued opinion doesn't matter. And you get what you get.
Right. And Jamal is saying in the chat room that he thinks that the abuse he went through as a child affects the way that he deals with women to this day. And I asked him, well, what kind of abuse did you go through? What were you hit with? Being that, you know, we've all been hit with vases and rocks and whatever else. But he's saying that his was more verbal abuse, you know, and those words were cut like a sword. You know, words hurt. People are really sticks and stones, they break my bones, but words, fuck that. Words hurt. You know what I'm saying? Words hurt. You know, because especially when they come from people that you're close with, especially when they come from people that you're supposed to be able to trust and who are supposed to protect you, you know, it's bad enough that the world is here to tear you apart. You don't want to hear that from your parents. You don't want to hear that from people who say that they care about you. You know, so, yeah, words definitely, you know, have a way of affecting you and lingering with you even longer than whoopings, because physical pain and physical bruises eventually heal, but you always remember those words. You always remember, you know, being told that you're not going to be shit and, you know, F you and, you know, just words that you just shouldn't say to your child, you know what I'm saying? So I just think that we have a lot of people who are scarred and abused and don't even know it.
Yeah.
That don't even know it.
We find out later in life.
That's the sad part.
Sometimes when you grow up, either in your young teens or even when you're older, you find out that your parents envied you because they weren't given the childhood that you were given. So,
right.
A lot of times they live their childhood through you. And more times, you know, some parents are hard on you because they have so much expectation, like, you know, I want to give my child what I didn't have. And that's got to be a weight that is very difficult to carry itself. So you try to look at everything, you know, in its entirety, because as my father and his father, they weren't really given, you know, the tutelage that I was given. It was all about, well, a whole lot of leaning towards
pornography. You had to walk 10 miles to school barefoot.
No,
one of them old slave stories, like, sir, you had shoes back then. You grew up in the 60s. Stop.
And, I had to put them shoes on the mules at 4 in the morning.
Sound real bad, like they was born in the 1800s.
Yeah, like, I had to walk through 15 feet of snow, forwards and backwards.
I had no shovels when I was growing up.
I was
born in the 70s. You need to stop.
I had to snatch cotton and crops with my bare hands and foot. Fuck out of here, man. You weren't doing that shit.
I love them old stories from back in the day. Like, you ain't but 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
And they had those chicken cotton.
Yeah. Like, really? Fuck it. Our lunch money was 25 cents a week. Like, yeah, come on, dude. Y'all doing too much.
Oh, man. Them old school stories. I gotta love them, though. So we got about 26 minutes left. This show is just flying by. And I wanted to get on the last topic before we go. You know, the whole beating debate was a really, really good topic, and I'm glad everybody was able to join in and state their points. If you guys have not heard, and I'm planning on doing a video about this, there's been this huge cheating scandal. Matter of fact, I did a video about it back in 2009, and YouTube ended up removing my video. But now, you know what? The stuff is coming to light. Well, people doing the dark comes to light, because the video that I talked about in 2009 about the Atlanta school system, when they were initially being investigated for the cheating scandal, has now officially broke. And the superintendent of schools down there, time to look at this information I wrote down, I forget her name, but she's looking at prison time. There were over 31 teachers indicted.
Damn.
They've been falsifying grades for at least the past 4 years, but they're saying that they believe that the cheating dates all the way back to early 2001, when standardized testing scores began to turn around in the 50,000 school district. And so what they're saying is that basically these teachers would have cheating parties, and they would have the teachers were forced to, let me see here, I'm trying to read exactly from this article, so bear with me real quick. They were called cheating parties, and they were forced to basically, the teachers were forced to make changes to the test. Anything that you could imagine that involves cheating was done. So they would erase answers, they would fudge reports, and everything else. And why? And the reason why they were doing this was so they could get grant money, so they could get more money for the schools. And I talked about this in 2009, and YouTube flagged my video for copyright. Such nonsense. But let me be twerking. That video would be up there to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about some educational shit, all of a sudden it's copyright. But I just think it's a shame. You know, we get so upset at these kids, and, you know, these kids are just dumb and da-da-da-da. And they're not being taught anything. They're just the number. They're just the check. You know, and I just think it's a shame that educators would sit here and cut corners and not do what they're supposed to be doing, which is teaching these kids, teaching the next generation. So you got kids who literally graduated back in the years from 2005 to 2009 who literally didn't learn shit. Because regardless if they failed or passed, it didn't matter. So let's say you fail a test, but your teacher fudges the report. Well, you're thinking that you did everything right. So what is going to make you, you know, change what you're doing? Well, you don't even know that the answers that you put on the test were wrong. What did you say?
I said, look what they're producing. They're passing kids who are not at the equivalent level that they're supposed to be in. So if you got a senior who comprehends and reads at a sixth grade level, what other avenues do you think this child has to go? With already enough pressures to get into a certain market or whatever they're looking to do, what do you think that goes into? They end up going to either a life of crime, going into prison, or some other entity that they've already pre-planned. You know, ever since you're at third grade, they're already seeding room for the next next incumbent visitors of prison already. They made stocks in prison. So they're really aware of this bullshit. And again, you know, when you made a video highlighting on academic fraud, I find it disappointing that they had to throw out the copyright bullshit. But again, you have a chick out there twerking, or she's out there giving head on a video, or, you know, fucking in the woods with her baby on her back with a camera on there.
Lord, I heard about that. I didn't see the video.
I seen the video, and it was trifling. That shit
was ratchet.
Like,
I didn't even, I was like, come on, I didn't even watch it, but I'm going to have to go check it out, because I'm never going
Man, but I mean, I just find it interesting, like, when you highlight something that is educational, that's a problem. This is academic fraud on many counts, because not only is it financially fraudulent, but it's psychologically and socially and communally, you know, disingenuous. Because when you have them kids that, like, they, again, like, when you're in a grade or in college, you don't understand shit. What else you think you're going to do? You're going to give up that much quicker and go do whatever what they slated you to do. Whatever means it is to find a happy medium, that's what they're going to do. Now, some parents, you know, manage to, I mean, again, like, you can't look at education as far as, well, miseducation as we know it, as the be-all, end-all, or be-all of education. Because there's some people who haven't stepped foot in a university and blow so many so-called scholars out the fucking water. However, when you're trying to go into your trade or something, if you don't fit, that could change everything about the individual and everyone else associated with it.
Right, and they're making a lot of good points in the chat room. Jay is saying that some teachers have to compete with pop culture. You can't force kids to learn. The underlying problem is that they're so desperate for funding that they're basically doing whatever it takes. G. Stewart was saying that basically you have a school-to-prison pipeline, and I definitely agree with that. You know, people always talk about the black dropout rate, but really it's a black push-out rate. Because once a lot of, you know, young black men especially get to a certain grade, a lot of these teachers don't want to be bothered with them. And a lot of them are so focused and looking up to Lil Wayne, they don't care about learning shit. And Bonafide was saying, you know, the parents need to be involved too, and I definitely agree with that, because at some point in time, you have to ask yourself, why is my 16-year-old reading at a fourth grade level?
Right.
You know, at some point in time, as a parent, that has to bother you. You know, but you have a lot of parents out here, again, they want to either be their kids' friends, or they'd rather, you know, be twerking on World Star, being, you know, being engaged with other stuff as opposed to their kids and their kids' education. And that's the problem, too. So I think there's a lot of blame to place around. You have kids who don't want to learn, who don't care about learning. You know, you can ask a bunch of teenagers right now, when does Beyonce's new damn video come out? And they will tell you 4/4. Comes out tomorrow. That's how they've been talking about on Twitter. But you ask some same knuckleheads, her fans, you know what I'm saying, some mathematical equations, some reading comprehension, a lot of them they don't know. You ask them where Afghanistan is on the map, they have no idea. So you have a lot of kids who are so willing to just fill their head with just empty nonsense, and they don't want to learn, so it makes it difficult for the teachers, but it still does not negate the fact that these teachers have no business having cheating parties.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, like, look at the cycle of stupidity and see if what it is. If you have these so-called parents who are chasing their childhood, using their children as unemployment vouchers, then they send these kids to the schools, which are part-time babysitters and full-time miseducators in most cases. What are these children going to learn when you have three generations of a family either in the club or damn near the same dress or twerking on a video or doing some insignificant, superficial shit instead of being something productive in the community for themselves? This is what we get.
Right. Yep, it's crazy, and a lot of people are saying, Jay is saying that sometimes the parents who are involved are the negative influence, you know, and Thomas is saying no kid left behind in schools, and it is, it's a bunch of nonsense. You know, they say that there's no child left behind, but so many kids are being left behind. So many kids are struggling, and, you know, it starts early. You know, you have to be able to see things early and to really hop in there and be involved, and it's a lot of work. You know, like sometimes I get frustrated because I feel like I can't spend as much time as I would like to, you know, sometimes on social media, just being able to interact with fans and subscribers and returning emails and stuff like that. But my priorities are my children, and my priorities are my job. You know, so a lot of times I can go days without posting anything on Facebook. I can go days without tweeting anything. But that's because I have to deal with my kids. I have to deal with work. I have to deal with stuff outside of the internet. And I think a lot of parents right now are just too wrapped up online. They're too wrapped up on World of Warcraft and, you know, what's going on Facebook. And I love that picture that I had posted in one of our videos a while back with the little babies. They're sitting there on the floor with bottles. Their hair's all messed up. They're like, bitch, get on Facebook and feed us. Because my mom's been on Facebook all day. You know what I'm saying? The baby diaper soiled. She's just walking out with the same empty bottle, and the mom was just sitting there, you know, running her mouth about the latest, you know, Beyonce track or what Rihanna wore to the Oscars or, you know, whatever nonsense. And I think a lot of it, too, is a lot of people are just wrapped up in their own world and they're leaving their kids out to, you know, to the wolves.
Or they're too busy fighting at somebody's house or making an ass of themselves in public or exposing themselves in the lowest form while their children have to live with this embarrassment, or their career groupies that dedicate their books of juggling dicks and whatever to their children. This is the shit we deal with. This is what we deal
with.
Right. But you lead by example by showing how things are done. You're not out here attention whoring like some of these characters out here. I mean, everyone, like, you know, people in the chat room, some people are listening, they lead in their own way. But for someone to, like, get on a camera and, like, now, instead of helping your fellow person, they're quick to get their camera phone out, and if you get hit by a train, which happened before, they got a picture of it. That's their main concern.
Right. And Excel ATL said she went to that school. She went to one of the schools that was involved in the cheating scandal, and she said that her high school years, you know, while she was in school trying to learn, she was surrounded by just ratchetness and treachery. You know, and I can definitely believe that. And it's hard when you have somebody who is in school to learn and you have other people who are just there to just clown. You know, like my high school was literally a fashion show, you know, and my parents were just the type of parents, they just did not play that. You know, because my parents were African and they were about education and you're going to go to school to learn. You're not, if you don't do nothing else, you're going to come home with decent grades, you're going to learn. So we couldn't just be in school clowning. I couldn't just get suspended. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't just be, you know, just wilding out. And you would be in class trying to learn and you have the kids who don't care, who, you know, who are used to getting suspended every other week, just disrupting the class. And, you know, it's very frustrating when you have the kids who want to learn and they're not able to learn. And, you know, I said our school was a fashion show. Our school also had a daycare, so that tells you a lot. I worked in the daycare. Yes, in ninth grade, I worked in the daycare. It was my job to make breakfast for the kids. And I'm like 15. This was one of my classes. My mom was pissed. She was like, what the hell? She said, you got daycare as a class? I said, I don't know. They just put me in daycare. How is this a class? What are you learning? To have a baby? Yep. I was in, I daycare 101. And it was my job to take care of the 10 moms' kids who had babies that went to that school. So a lot of these schools are just insane. Jamal said his school had a daycare, too. Thank you, Jamal. People think I'm crazy when I tell them that my high school had a daycare.
No, I mean,
yeah,
you're not
our
crazy.
High school had a daycare, and we and the students took care of the kids in the school, and it got so bad. I remember after I graduated, they said it got so bad that the freshman class that was there the year after I graduated, so many of those kids got pregnant, they ended up closing down the daycare because now kids were just getting pregnant because they knew they could just have their babies in school and, you know, they'd be in the hallway with their baby on their hip thinking it's cute, you know, stuff like that. But that goes to show you a lot of these schools are not really trying to teach. When you have a class called daycare and you're making cereal in the morning for kids and juice, I didn't learn shit first hour. You know what I'm saying? I had to be there on time because you would get in trouble if you didn't come on time because the kids would be disappointed and they'd be hungry. So that was like their whole thing. Like, don't disappoint the children. You have to be here to make their Cheerios. But what did I learn from that class? Either to have a baby at, you know, 14, 15, and 16, or that I didn't really want kids because these damn kids are on my nerves, you know? So it wasn't a class, though, and that's the sad part is a lot of these kids are not learning anything. And no, Bill Nerd, you came into my chat room on colored people's time. He's going to say, did you go to school in Florida? No, nope, I went to school in Minnesota. Yeah, but our school had a daycare. Sure did.
That stuff is everywhere.
John's school said in NYC they have daycares, too. Yeah. That was normal to us. Our school had a daycare. It was normal. But a lot of people were shocked when I tell them, like, what, your school had a daycare? It sure did. And the daycare providers, they were grown women. They were, like, our teachers and our daycare providers. And they were really nice and stuff. You know, and part of it was for child development class, XLATL saying that. Part of it was for child development, but a lot of it was just so we could babysit them kids while the teen moms were able to get their education. And we just sat there, we played with the kids, we played patty cake, we would do their hair and change their diapers and stuff like that. And I got an A. Yay, go teacher!
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. I saved the kids and I changed their diapers.
Mm-mm.
I did. I mean, she's gonna take a class. She might as well pass, right? But I mean, my mom was hot, though. She was hot. She was like,
yeah.
What kind of class is this? I said, I don't know, but it's an easy A. All I gotta do is change some diapers and feed some kids.
But you gotta see it from her point, too, because, like, you figure coming from a time where parents made it a point to be at that PTA meeting and get progress reports. And, like, you waiting for report card day because that was judgment day. Either where you was going to have a good, you know, report card or you was going to have one hell of a weekend. So now what do you have? You go to class. You got teachers texting kids, you know, showing each other eHarmony profiles of each other. You know, just it's a complete clusterfuck now. So... yeah, that stuff was like in the Midwest. That stuff was all out West Coast, everything. So what does that show, you know, as far as when it comes to education, what are they really teaching you? What are they really teaching you?
Right. Yep, school, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like school, you know, supposed to be for learning, but then other times I feel it's just indoctrination. It's just for kids to just kind of kick it, hang out. I remember this one dude, you know, that went to my school. He was really handsome, real popular. But he was really there just to show us, you know, whatever new Nikes he copped over the weekend or, you know, whatever fresh outfit he came to school. He didn't even graduate. But every week, he had a badass outfit Monday morning. he was like one of the best dressed in school. But he didn't walk across the state. He didn't graduate. And he didn't care. It was just about, you know, coming and socializing and hanging out. You know, and it's kind of unfortunate, but... you know, it seems like that's how a lot of these schools are nowadays, and you just have to be really particular about what schools you put your kids in. You got to be involved. That's the main thing. Like, I stay on top of my son's teachers. They know they can email me. They can call me at any time. I email them all the time. How's he doing? Is he missing any assignments? You know, what are y'all doing in class this week? I have a very good rapport with all my son's teachers. So I think that's one way to kind of combat the foolishness that goes on and with kids slipping through the cracks. When they know that you're an involved parent, they love that. You know, my son's social study teacher, she emailed me the other day because it was a packet that he was supposed to do over spring break that I guess he hadn't finished. You know, and I had to get on him about that. So you couldn't finish your packet, but you managed to kick it on spring break and, you know, hang out and watch movies and everything else. you know, so I told the teacher that he would have it done and hand it in to her, and, you know, he did. And she was like, you know, just I want to thank you for just backing me 100% and making sure that you talk to him and that he's doing what he got to do. And I think that's what we have to do as parents. We just have to be on top of it. Especially as kids get older and they get into those teenage years and they have other outside influences and stuff like that. So it's like I'm always having to follow up and, you know, just stay on top of stuff. Pop up at the schools. Embarrass them. I asked my son the other day, I was like, he came home the other day, he was talking about one of his friend's parents came to lunch, and he was so embarrassed. Who is he embarrassed about? He should be happy. I said, I'm going to pop up one day and come eat lunch. And he's like, Mom, don't do that. No, don't come to lunch. I said, no, that's messed up. I said, now, when you was in first and second grade, I used to come to school all the time and eat lunch with you. You had a problem with it. Well, I was like 6 and 7. I don't want you doing it now. I'm 12. And I'm like, whatever. So I'm banned from coming to lunch. But I still come up to the class and come talk to his teachers, though. Can't ban me from your teachers.
Is your name on the mortgage? Well, I guess I'll be there Monday morning.
Eat that school lunch. I did. I used to go through to his lunch in North Carolina. North Carolina, they feed you good. Oh, they used to have big home-cooked meals in North Carolina. I would eat half his lunch. They were like, do you want to buy lunch? Nope, we'll share. Oh, man. But, yeah, it's a lot of crazy things going on. Excel ATL is saying that her school had a chemical scare one time, and they're the number one school in Georgia. Other people are talking about their school in New York. So it looks like a lot of people, you know, went to ratchet high schools. So Lacey's saying that she wishes that her nephew's school enforced uniforms. How do y'all feel about uniforms? Because I have mixed feelings about that. Some people say it's good to have uniforms, but I feel like kids should be able to express themselves as well. And people are like, well, you know, if you're poor, nobody can tell who's poor and who's rich. Well, regardless of the situation, I still kind of feel like people should be able to express themselves.
You know, the whole thing with uniforms, it teaches kids how to camouflage their real selves. You know, not aside from when they say, you know, get kids to, like, you be, like, unilateral in their thought, that's far from the truth, because you got kids who talk, and they're going to find out what's really going on with you. So, I mean, you can still have the same uniform, but dang, that's some straight-up bullshit they're talking about.
Right, and then the thing that they be like, oh, well, you can't tell who's poor and who's rich. Well, if somebody has on J's and somebody else is wearing Payless shoes, you can kind of, you know, tell. And I understand that the uniforms is to keep them focused, and there's nothing wrong with it, and people are saying it is cheaper as well, too. But I don't know, I've never really been into, like, the whole uniform school. Like, I prefer for kids to be able to kind of express themselves and show their individuality, but I do understand the reason, you know, behind the whole uniform thing. But I know as a kid, I hated it. I couldn't do it. I'm like, never send me to a school uniform. I want to be able to, you know, dress how I want to dress. And I was such a big tomboy. Like, I liked my clothes real big and baggy, and I didn't want to have to go to school in a skirt and, you know, show my little bony legs and get clowned. So I liked to wear my own clothes because I could wear my baggy jeans.
Oh, shit.
I'm real. So we got about 6 minutes left. Tonight has been a great show. I want to thank everybody who's in the chat room, everybody who came through. Some of y'all were late, and we blasted y'all. Hopefully I'll make it on time next time. But I'm glad you guys did show up tonight. Definitely a lot of good conversations, and I appreciate that. And to the people who are listening in, we see y'all. Thank you for eavesdropping.
Welcome, guests.
Oh, yeah, and the guests. We have a lot of, you know, anonymous guests. Y'all should register so that way we can, you know, call y'all by y'all's names. We ain't got to be like guests 16618.
No. We family. Dysfunctional, but we family.
Yeah, we're all family. We have a good time in our chat room. You know, we don't go in on nobody. We just have fun. We have we just kick it, chill, chop it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go deep. Sometimes we just go goofy. But we have fun, and that's the most important part. And it's always good to see new faces.
Yeah, we are pretty deep tonight.
There's about 20 people. Lord, somebody turned me into a meme.
Are you serious?
I cannot stand y'all. Yes, quit that link, nigga. Just put up in the chat room. Lord have mercy. Y'all play too much.
That's good.
This
woman
is
that?
A name talking about turbo on time.
Whoever did that, that was good.
Oh, my God. I look crazy. The afro's out. I got to post that on the fan page. Oh, my God.
You.
Y'all are crazy. That is funny.
That's good.
Twerk one more time. Y'all have to find, that belt.
But you know the funny part is, I can definitely see that.
Oh, yeah. I used to be chasing these kids up and down two flights of steps, just running, because they run. You know, kids run and shit. I'd run and be out of breath. Hell no. About to keep chasing y'all. We taking everything away.
No,
I can breathe easy.
No, you know what? You probably do what my parents did. They didn't run after us too much. They would learn to trip us, do all kind of wild-ass shit,
I'm
like knock us off.
Yeah.
You
try running in my way for sticker leg out, trip you.
Oh, bow, hit the floor.
What the fuck? Oh, my God. I've heard some of the craziest stories tonight. Folks been beat with everything.
Yep.
I done heard it all tonight. Lord. Mm. We're going to just pray for our parents and, you know, thank them for bringing us into this world. We forgive them. But damn it, y'all was ruthless, for real.
Oh, yeah.
We went through a lot.
You know,
we went through a lot.
I think my mom will probably tell you, like, I should let you talk to her for a little bit, but she was like, she got tired, like, you know what, you old enough now, I'm getting tired of these belts, these switches, I ain't doing it no more. Y'all think y'all taller than me and all that? You know, I got no problem whooping your ass like I don't know you in the street. Yeah, I'll lie and see what happens.
Oh, so she came out with the fist.
I'm like, look, I'm 5'3", and it ain't going to be no easy win, motherfucker. I'm going to tell you right now, she was country. She didn't give a shit.
She went hard on you.
Hell yeah. Like, no.
You can't hop out of beat me.
Well, I mean, it's kind of sad, but it is kind of funny. Like, I seen her and my dad fight. My dad ran the hell out of the house. He wasn't trying to fuck with that. So I'm like, you know.
She's crazy. I'm done.
got my dad running like that? No, I'm going to chill out here. I'm going to be good.
Right. Except I'm going to say, sometimes I wish I could have came out of my mama fully clothed, walking and talking with 100K. I'd have been all right. I know that's right. I know that is right. I wish they'd left us with something besides bruises and knots.
Yeah, them was were a motherfucker, though.
For real, we went through hell, man, for real, but, you know.
Yeah. Shut up,
but remember we would always say to ourselves when we were kids, if I ever had kids, I ain't never whooping my kids. Shit. You don't whip your kids. Everybody says that. If I ever had kids, I'm never going to whip my kids, and then they eat ice cream and lollipop, and they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Pop out a few kids. It sounds good when you're 12.
No, my mom gave me that warning and said, you know what, the same hell you put me through, your kid's going to do the exact same shit. Like, you know what? I don't think I'm ready for kids right now. Because I was an asshole.
You're right.
And I'm going to kill my kids.
That's true. Oh, man, I got to post this meme. Twerk one more time. Y'all ain't rolling out. I got to put that in my phone. I'm an official meme. I feel so special. I should be on Reddit or something.
Oh, man. That's comical.
So we're down to 40 seconds. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. So make sure you guys join us next week, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Same place, same channel, I guess. Hey, last word, Ronan?
Twerking on Blog Talk, twerking on Blog Talk. Twerking on Blog Talk.
Twerking on the cord, twerking on the cord, twerking on the cord.
About to get away.
I'm glad you guys had fun. Y'all definitely have to join us again next week. We're going to have even more topics and, you know. Listen, love, peace, and hair grease. 10 seconds
right.
left. All right, we out. We're ending the show. Good night.
Good evening, and wash your hands, Negroes.